yesterday. We considered all the true values of life and came to the conclusion that true value lies in knowing oneself and knowing all God. Man is thrice blessed. He has got physical body, intellect and soul. So he should develop in all three ways so that he may reap the full benefit of a man's life. So, considering all other matters, we ultimately came to this decision that man who had not developed spiritually, however he may have developed physically or intellectually, he is nowhere. For the reason that we have to leave the body someday. This is only a temporary abode which we have to make the best use of it. Man is the highest of all creation, and it is in that only that we can meet God. Know ourselves, know ourselves. If we have not done that work, we are, truly speaking, lost our most precious life, which was bestowed to us as a man. We also came to the conclusion that time does come when someone leaves this body. That something is that we are. That is called soul. That is conscious entity. But under the control of mind, it is so much united that it cannot differentiate itself from the mind. And mind is further swayed by the outgoing faculties. We have identified ourselves with the body and its environments, so much so that we cannot now differentiate who we are, what we are. And what led to this conclusion, you see, that was the subject we just dealt with yesterday. How we forgot ourselves. So that was explained to the outgoing faculties. We have been working through them for more delight. We have been receiving impressions from outside. Majority of three of the outgoing faculties, sight, audition and taste, that all the time when we go to sleep, close our eyes, we think of the same impressions we receive through them. When we go to sleep, in dreams even that those very impressions are reproduced, as it were we are living an only superficial life. So our inner eyes were shut. So to say, we have become blind in the terminology of the masters. Because God is within us, but inner eye is not open with which we can see that light. God's eyes is in every heart, but our inner ears are closed. That is why we have, as it were, become deaf to hear that voice. Similarly, we have given up to the taste of the things outside so much so that the real bliss, the sweet elixir of the divine link existing in each man, that we are not able to taste now. Ultimately, we came to the conclusion that we are, as it were, sleeping in a house of body, and depressions are just assailing us. When a man is asleep in a body, you see, in a house, anybody can come take away anything nice. So we do not know when we are just assailed by the passions. How to overcome that, that is ultimately we arrive at the conclusion that somebody who is competent to raise us above the outgoing faculties, only then we can be saved the attacks of passions through the various outgoing faculties which we are now having. So if we could sit at the feet of somebody who can transcend the body himself and give us an experience how to transcend the outgoing faculties, at his feet we will come to know what is what, why our inner eyes can be opened, you see. Divinity already exists in man, that is only an expression thereof that we learn at the feet of some master. So that was the subject yesterday. Today's subject is, you see, our soul, our conscious entity. God is all consciousness, and we are a drop of the ocean of light, of consciousness. But our mind is controlled, complete control of mind. Now mind is further swayed by the outgoing faculties. Unless the mind turn away from the earthly things, we cannot go inside or transcend the body or have ingress into the kingdom of God. How we can control mind and contact the divine link, God in action power, you might say, which is supporting each one of us, and also all the creations. How can we contact with that power? That would be subject of today's talk. Yesterday I quoted and day before from two masters of the East, one Kabir and the other Guru Arjuna, fifth Guru of the sixth, and given quotations from Bible and others, just to show that they were teaching, they were one on this point. Today we are taking up just a hymn from Guru Amar Das, another master who came to the East. Let us see what he has to say on this subject. Now you find everybody is doing something at least, you see. Those who are interested in the subject, the mystery of life, has entered their hearts, that cannot remain unraveled. So everybody is striving to do something, but they find one difficulty. They are just putting time to read the holy scriptures of all saints who came in the past. They are just putting in time to attend the holy places of worship, say one prayer or the other, but they feel one difficulty while doing so, and that is, while they are praying, while they are reading the holy scriptures, while they are attending the other rituals, mind is wandering away. Their body is there, their mouths are repeating the same thing, but at the same time mind is wandering away. For a minute it stays and then wanders away. That is a practical difficulty. Those who are doing something on the way, they find that difficulty before them. So Guru Amar Das, I tell you, that he was in search of this truth. He went about from town to town in India and visited many places of pilgrimages and the holy Ganges. On the banks of it, there are many rishis lived in the past. Even they consider they are some even now. Up to the age of 70 years, he was just going over there to find out somebody so that he may put on the way. But on the way, once when he was going, it so happened that another man was also on the way, you see, some recluse. He wanted water for drinking, and Guru Amar Das just brought the water for him and he drank. He put in the question, who is your master? Have you ever sat at the feet of some master? He was a truthful man. He said, no, so far I have not found any master at whose feet I could sit and would find the way up. He says, oh my Lord, I have taken water from a man who has not even the face of the master, and the most unfortunate, he cursed himself. That struck Guru Amar Das very badly. Well, is it so bad not to have a master in life? Really, truly speaking, to have a living master is a great blessing, I tell you. So he was so much shocked at the statement made by that recluse that he came back. Fortunately, he so happened, you see. There are many things, many opportunities with us, but we do not exactly follow or make the best use of them. The daughter of the second guru of the sixth, Guru Angad by name, she was married to this grandson of Guru Amar Das. She was there. She had a guru. She had a master. She knew the way up. That day when he heard her reciting the scriptures, he went to her and asked her, whose scripture it is. He referred that my father is now carrying on this mission of Guru Nanak, so you can go to him. So he asked her to just accompany her to her father and went over there. The second guru, you see, when he heard that my daughter's father-in-law has come, so he naturally came out. According to the custom, they wanted to meet him, embrace him. But Guru Amar Das said, look here, I have not come now as a, in that relation, you see, in that way of relation, but I have come as a slave at your feet. So he did what he said, and ultimately he had that realization of himself and over self. Then only he gave up the things after that. When he read that point, you see, of realization. He says, we are doing something. Some are saying prayers, some are offering water to the sun, some are this way, that way, so many in all social regions. There are different rituals, different formalism, some are just within the holy places of worship, this and that thing. With all that, they find that very difficulty confronting them, that mind is not still. In outward things, you see, mind can be erased and maybe stop, stay for a short time, but again it wanders away. I remember the time of my master, Saman Singh Maharaj, one pandit came to him, and when he listened to the talks given by the master, he was convinced and wanted initiation. When he was initiated, he had some experience within. He told him, well, look here, what I said, I'll do, complete that course within 2 or 3 months and come back again. Hey, Master, laugh a little bit. You know, all right, what else is worth it? Do it. He went ahead, alternate at the time when this dark one took place, I was there, present. Again, but he did not turn up in the 2 or 3 months, he turned up, say, after 6 or 8 months. When he again came and met the Master, I was also there. What did he say? Look here, Master, previous to come to you, I was devoting 6 to 8 hours in the just performing the rituals and prayers and reading scriptures, etc. 6 to 8 hours, the mind would not disturb me. But now, mind is not still even for 5 minutes. You follow why? In outward engagement, mind does get some interest. Because it's got something to see, to be engaged. But when you leave this outward things, mind cannot be still inside. I tell you, like a giant, if you shut him up in a dark room, what will he do? He'll sing the knock, the door, break the doors, cry. But if you have something inside to stay on, and that becomes a very interesting thing to him, then he keeps quiet. You find it unless you get something inside. Outer performance of the outer rituals and formalism, you see, easier. Because for some time at least that will be controlled for a while, but again that will wander away. So Guru Amar Das says, look here, our mind is just wandering away to all sides. How a man with such a mind, you see, how can he really sing the praises of the Lord? Now he again says, where is God, you see? What are the sources through which this mind goes out to the outward thing? He says it is through the outgoing faculties. Those outgoing faculties are taking possession of the mind, so much so it has become a diet that cannot leave it, you see. One day he does something, 2 days, 4 days it becomes recurrence, brings in habit, and habit when strengthens, it turns into a nature. So once you have just got a habit of something, to unravel there that becomes a bit difficult. Because from the very birth, you see, our mind has been attached to the outside thing, to the outgoing faculties, you see. All the time dreaming, talking, thinking, seeing, hearing, the outside things, so it has been attached to the outward life. How to still it? What's the result? So at times we fall prey to lust and to anger. You see? Now the outgoing factor, we just consider for a minute, mark, you see? It comes to the light, burning light, and it singes itself, you see, consumes itself in the mark. One outgoing faculty of sight is controlling the mark. The result is death. Deer are antelope in the jungles, they are very fast running animals, you see. Even the fastest horse cannot overtake it. But how the people catch him, you see. Just the drum beat. They just beat it out outside on that wise. He is so much so taken away that he comes near it and lays his head on the drum. And the people who are after it catches him, and the whole life long he is under custody, control, and slave for whole life. You see now elephant, how strong an animal it is, how they are caught, very difficult to catch one elephant from the jungle. The one you do, they just have some very deep ditches dug into the ground, and over that they lay some branches of trees, very thin, and some grass over it, so that it may not be known that there is a ditch beneath. So just make or put on there like it. Just pattern loves up female elephant. Elephant comes being given up to the outward faculty of touch. He just gallops and just down the ditch. For some days, elephant is kept hungry, and after they enter, you see that iron rod is kept all through life and sleep. Similarly, take the case of a fish that is under the control of the outward faculty of the taste. Free it is in the river, say, ocean. How the fishermen catch it? By throwing the net into the river and just putting some things on that, they put in something to eat. So they come and just put it in the mouth, and that very hook is just stuck in the neck. And when the fisherman takes away the net along with that, the fisher comes out and dies. So you see, we give one example of each. Whichever of this creation is subject to the slavery of one outward faculty, the result is either death or lifelong slavery. What to speak of a man who is under the control of the five outward faculties at a time? When our soul, under the control of the mind, it is driven away or attached to the outward, outside things, you see, not by one outward faculty, but five altogether, where is the room left for the soul to get contact with the divine language or the divine spirit? So result is the fall in lust or anger. Now in lust you will find the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. You must have just seen some man die. The lower portion is dead. And the soul is down, comes back the eyes, and eyes are upturned like that. He is alive. Lower portion is benumbed and dead, but he is still alive. It shows that the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. See? And then ultimately leaves the body. So, the soul which is just directed to lust has a downward tendency, but he has to leave to go up. How can that soul go which is just given up to the lust? For that purpose, you see, chastity is life and sexuality is death. We have to be pure in thought, word and deed. Of course, those who have entered the household is life, they have to live according to the sacraments of their religion, you see. For that purpose, that is also, you see, household life is not a machinery of enjoyment, excuse me. It is a very blessed, I think, place where man has to live, just have a companion in life, go to just companion life in this earthly life, and go ahead, go together. And of course, one duty is there of begetting children, that's all right, but it's not it. Be all in it now. We have considered wrongly, we think that perhaps this household life is only the machinery of enjoyment, where that is not so. To observe celibacy, restrict yourself this very valuable life, you might say, you have to maintain it. If one is addicted to downward tendency, naturally his soul cannot go leave the body. Similarly, through anger, the mind expands. Such man is like, he always keeps thinking he will suffer. Either mind is going down or expanding. Such a man, how can he concentrate? That Master says at one place, the man whose body has not been just besmeared and defiled with the thoughts of anger and lust, he is the image of God. You see him, your thoughts will change. In that atmosphere when you will sit, you will have a charging of something higher value of life. So he says, but our minds betraying us into the enjoyments of the outward life, we have to make the best use of it. Mind is a good servant, mind burns like fire, but it is a bad master. If fire is in your control, that will cook up your things, that will carry on your machinery, you see, and other things. But once the fire takes hold of you, you are nowhere. You are consumed. Similarly, if you have mind under your control, that works wonders. You can work wonders. And if mind controls you, then you are the all man of the world. That's all. The mind has to be controlled. That's the main difficulty. It lies in a way up to God, you see. In the ocean of mind, innumerable waves coming on, or various factions, you see. They affect us, they drown us, unless with the proper guidance and help of some master that can only lead us across. So what does he do? He just transcends you from the plane where the outward faculty works. Very first, the ABC of teaching starts just when you are up the outward faculty. All these impressions from outside are the apertures through which these passions assail on you, attack on you, are the outward faculty, eyes, ears, nose, mouth. That's it. So first the lesson start just makes you sit, gives you an experience how to transcend the body, just open your inner eye to contact with the divine link with it. Only then man can mind can be controlled. And you see the mind is one. You can engage it into one thing at a time, not two, three, four. You may engage it in the enjoyment of the sensuous life, or direct it to the enjoyment of the higher blissful life. If your mind is just attached to something higher, naturally out of things will become less effective. So if there is any impediment, I may say, in our way back to God is mind. One Mohammedan saint says that if you have a resolute will to see God on hand, then what is the best way? Up. Just put one foot on the mind, that is, stop it by going astray. And the next step you will take, that you will just fall into the kingdom of God.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk given by Master in Washington, D.C. in June of 1955, and it was given the name, How to Contact Divinity Within. Our reader this evening is Marcia Crosby.
Good evening, everyone. This first reading is Master's birthday message from 1972. Dear ones, I am sending you the following message in brief on my physical birthday, which will bring peace to all the world over. Be good, do good, and be one. 1. Be good and do good means to be able to do good, you must be good in the first instance. Being good means being good in thought, word, and deed. God is all goodness and innate in all. Be friendly with everyone. Be kind and compassionate. See goodness in all around you, including even those who hate you. God is love. Love all, serve all, and do good to all. 2. God made man. All mankind is one. Man is an ensouled body, bearing labels of different social bodies. As men, we are all one, born the same way, with equal privileges from God. As soul, we are of the same essence as that of God, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and controlled by the same power which we all worship, calling by different names. 3. Be one. As unity already exists, we have forgotten. With all love and best wishes, Kirpal Singh. And the next reading is from Spiritual Elixir, Part 2. And I'm reading Chapter 6, Mind and Soul. And these are the excerpts from letters from Master to his disciples. The soul has been imprisoned for ages, and it is only through the kindness of the Master that it can be released. There is no other way. You are now on the way. Spiritual meditation aids in inner progress. This is the remedy for attachment to the world. The more the initiates progress within, the less attachment they feel for worldly things. In time, all attachment will disappear with the grace of the Master. The spirit or soul is attached to the objective world outside on account of objective impressions. Unless the outgoing faculties are controlled and the spirit is depersonalized from the distractions of life, it cannot rise above body consciousness. In order to depersonalize the soul, it is necessary to channel our energy inward and upward through the process of inversion and self-analysis. When you are at work, be completely absorbed in it. And when there is no work, do not permit your mind to wander aimlessly or to remain idle. For an idle mind is the devil's workshop, as the saying goes. You should resort either to the repetition of the five holy names during all vacant hours of the day and night, as well as keeping your mind in sweet remembrance of the Master wherever you may be, or in listening to the sweet symphonies of the melodious word, if it becomes audible. This will leave no room for idle thoughts, and they will not disturb you in meditation. The spontaneous flow of trickling tears goes a long way in washing off the dross of the mind, and fortunate is the eye that sheds these, for they leave unending trails of ravishing bliss and harmony. It is the grace of the Master that he remembers his children, and the faithfully obedient ones reciprocate his love and benefit from the ocean of compassion and grace. Refer to your question, Jesus Christ is within you. You can never see him outside. If you want to see him, you should apply for initiation to Rouhani Satsang Method of Spiritual Uplift. You must also observe strict abstinence from meat, eggs, and drink, alcohol. If you follow these instructions and work hard to go to the higher regions within, you will meet Jesus Christ there. Your idea of serving others is welcome. First of all, one must serve oneself, and then others. You are in the bondage of mind and matter. Your soul has many coverings over it, such as the physical body, astral body, and causal body, mind and matter, etc. So long as you are imprisoned in these bonds, what service can you render to others? One prisoner cannot liberate another. These five passions are within every one of us and are robbing us of our spiritual wealth. The way to become liberated from these five robbers is first to receive initiation and then work hard to reach the higher regions. When you free yourself, then it is a real service to try and free others. The involuntary tears that flow down the cheeks in loving remembrance of the Master will wash away all the dirt of the mind. Whenever you feel lonely or lost, remember sweetly the Master and invoke his help. And if it is a time that you can sit in meditation, do so with love and devotion. The true way to God starts when you rise above body consciousness. There is no other way. Great indeed is man. He lives in a God-made temple along with God himself. His very spirit is just a drop from the ocean of divine life. Between God and spirit, there is no other obstacle but that of a veil of the mind. If this veil were to stop fluttering in the breeze of desires, as it does at present, the spirit can take in directly the cosmic energy from its very source. I am sorry for the passing away of your dear brother in a plane crash. The major events of life are predestined. Your deep agony over the great loss your entire family has suffered is natural. You should please be rest assured that the blood and near relatives of the initiates are granted feasible protection and help in the beyond. You need not nourish any feelings of sadness in this behalf, as such an attitude will not only affect your spiritual progress, but will cause disturbance to the departed soul. As soon as a person collects himself and focuses his attention at the seat of the mind, he stirs up the mercy of God, which, in turn, fills him with a strength and fortitude never experienced before. These enable him to find a way out of the difficulty, whatever it may be. Regarding your experiences with dreams in sleep and on awakening, you are advised to ignore such experiences. It often proves to be a delusion of the mind. Spirituality is above all these experiences. As long as the mind dominates, it tries to put the initiates off the track. Initiates should resort to the repetition of the charge names during all idle moments and keep themselves immersed in loving remembrance of the Master. Such a serene schedule will enable you to have a conscious and perceptible contact with the Holy Shabd, with the grace of the Master. This constant contact with the Holy Sound, current, will awaken you spiritually and eliminate all fear. The obstruction caused by petty things during meditation might be attributed to your sensitive nature. The reservoir of the subconscious mind is filled with worldly thoughts, impulses, and instincts inherited from past lives. This must be drained out completely before it can be filled with love and devotion to the Lord Master. Reverential humility and self-abnegation are ennobling virtues. The spiritual aspirants grow in divine wisdom, giving no credit to themselves as they revel in the superb bliss of divine intoxication. Work is worship, and as such, all honest work should be honored and accepted in this sense. The usual fatigue and exhaustion are the routine functions of the physical body. Yet you can relax completely by fixing your inner gaze at the eye center, releasing the pent-up tensions by rolling down all your worries and cares onto the holy feet of the Master within. You will find a radical change in your thought pattern and will be greatly relieved with the grace of the Master. The scattering of the mind can best be eliminated by looking intently into the middle of the light and listening to the holy sound current with rapt attention, as it is during the slackening of the inner attention that outside stray thoughts invade and cause disturbance. Spiritually illumined souls do feel hurt at the behavior of their less gifted brethren who cannot fathom the greatness of the spiritual bliss granted by the gracious Master. It is on this score that those who are not on the holy path cannot behave properly. There are ways and ways to point out shortcomings in others. You must do this in a sweet way. Then your words will go to their hearts and will bear fruit. Ethical life is a stepping stone to spirituality. Truth is above all, but true living is above truth. For spiritual progress, stillness of mind and intellect is most essential. Any unnecessary wrestling with the intellect or free play of the mind retards spiritual progress. Concentration means the control of mental vibrations and may be obtained by attuning within to the sound current, which is the astral manifestation of the Master Power, always present with you. I note your inclination for golf and cards. The latter game is harmful, and you have done right to discontinue it. Please stick to your resolution and forget all about it, and do not dwell upon past happenings or try to recapture their past pleasures, for in that way the mind is fed surreptitiously. Besides, you should resort to earnest repetition of the sacred charge names with fervent prayer when and if your mind craves for it. Golf is a good game so far as it is physically refreshing aspects are concerned. It is a good physical exercise, and if you can afford it, there is no objection to your continuing with it. You know gambling of the like is harmful. You will appreciate that the mind is already full of restless attributes, so feeding it with more of similar disturbing ideas will simply mean adding fuel to the fire. You ask about music. Music is not necessarily bad for spiritual meditations, as prayerful hymns sometimes prove beneficial in awakening the inner impulse. But outer music feeds the mind, whereas listening to the holy sound current feeds the soul, with which it is surcharged as it enables it to have regular flights into the regions of the beyond. Refuge in the holy meditation is the panacea for all ills, and shall be helpful to you in overcoming the scattering tendencies of your mind. You need not magnify the horrors of the mind, as it is the spirit which enlivens the mind. When the spirit is vitalized with the divinity within, it becomes strong enough to refuse the dictates of mind. The hearing of the sound current with rapt attention will bless the mind with untold tranquility, and it will love to remain still at the eye focus. Please learn to be more composed in your meditations and await patiently to receive whatever is deemed fit and granted. The elimination of the ego is the only remedy for liberation from the unending cycle of births and deaths. It is a clear test of those who have realized at one-ment with the everlasting divinity, the spiritual current diffused in the world. All labor undergone for total self-effacement is an effort in the right direction. The secret lies in depersonalizing the soul of all that is personal. The many recipes for losing the I consciousness that floods that world today fail to gain for us the goal of liberation. For with such methods, the ego feeds itself and grows from strength to strength and is not effaced. Unless we become conscious co-workers with the divine plan, we cannot become selfless. I am glad to note your earnest desire to become aware of the truth and to rise into its full realization. This is an awakening of the soul, which is the essence of God, into higher consciousness achieved through the grace of a master who initiates a person into the mysteries of the beyond by granting a link of the light of God and the unceasing, ever-present voice of God, so as to travel step by step to the true home of the Father. I am glad that the desire from above is supreme in your heart, and you are willing to give up all else for it. Those who yearn for it get it. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. For arresting the flight mind, you are advised to concentrate completely on the inner light and sound during your meditations. You will appreciate that such an absorption will cleanse the mind of its old concepts, and blissful silence and calm serenity will reign supreme with the grace of the Master. The mind should not be left vacant all your waking hours. It should either be attuned to the Simran of the charged names in loving remembrance of the Master, or to the listening of the holy sound current. Such a sublime schedule of routine will keep it fastened and steady when you sit for meditation. You will have much help and grace from the gracious Master Power overhead. Your gratitude for the divine blessings in having been led to the protection of the Living Master is notable and genuine. Such an attitude will invoke his mercy. It is not the light within that goes away, but your mind gets down to the body and engages in noting what is going on in the body. That is a mistake which should be rectified. The mind, for ages, is accustomed to staying outside, and it takes some time for it to develop another habit, that of going within to stay there for long periods. The soul is a prisoner, and the master is the liberator, and he works to that end day and night for the benefit of the initiates. The master's blessings are always assured in overflowing degrees to the initiates. He wants them to progress within in the least possible time, and is happy to see them progress. Man is a threefold entity, comprising body, mind or intellect, and the soul. We have done so much for the development of our body and intellect, but we have done next to nothing for the uplift of our souls. By our physical and intellectual pursuits alone, we are lost in the wilderness of the world, with no way out of the bewildering labyrinth of the world. We do not realize that we are living like a guest in the inn of the body, and we remain intoxicated with the joy of bodily pleasures and the outgoing faculties, so much so that we have lost all consciousness of our own self. We have to divert ourselves from all these and learn the nature of our true self in order to be able to know God. Happy is the man who awakens from the lethargic sleep of worldly intoxication. I am glad you are becoming conscious of that condition and like to continue with your spiritual progress. How wonderful it is to surrender completely to one who is competent and loving, and to feel his loving presence and grace working in every sphere of life. The more one is able to develop receptivity by keeping his commandments, the more he or she is able to feel, retain, and enjoy his grace. The Master's grace is boundless. In regard to the pure spirit becoming so wicked as to find itself in this awful condition in this world, this is more academical rather than practical. From a pure, imperishable region, souls come to lower regions clothed in a mixture of matter in varying degrees, and are governed by the law of karma, cause and effect. In the lower regions, these souls may go up as well as down according to their behavior. Those who are well behaved here, now is the opportunity for them to behave in either way, either to go up into the higher regions, or if the opportunity is not properly used to advantage, to face the opposite result. The casual spells of depression or discouragement should be avoided by sweetly reposing in his will and pleasure. You should please note that it is the negative attitude of mind which often brings forth such periods of anxiety, resulting in vague frustration and resentment. You should always feel happy and contented while attending to your mundane and spiritual obligations as best you can. There is no greater grace than having been initiated by the competent living master and enjoying his protective guidance at each step with his grace. The sound current, soul, and master are all one. Your growing interest in its listening brings you nearer to the fountainhead of this bliss. It feeds the soul and strips the mind of its age-old dross. Past karma is wiped out by its rapturous listening with the grace of the Master. The initiates are invariably stressed the importance of listening to this divine sound so as to be free from the reaction of present karma, which they have to contract while meeting with their legitimate duties, in accordance with their fate karma. The holy sound current, growing more powerful at times, denotes his constant protection to you and an invitation for proceeding ahead within under his guidance. You should listen to it so devotedly that your entire self is merged in it, and let it transport you into the beyond to taste the higher bliss. Earnest and persistent efforts are needed for achieving better results. Perfection walks very slowly, yet each right step is a forward one under the gracious guidance and protection of the living master. Mind has its ramifications, and it roams about. It has been doing this for ages. It must be chained at the eye focus with loving and sincere efforts. It is not your karma that holds you back, nor is it responsible when you miss your meditations, but rather the treacherous misleading of your mind, which can be subdued and controlled by careful planning and execution. When you are fully convinced that the fountainhead of peace and harmony is within, and that you have the key and the means to tap within, you should not let the precious moments pass without deriving maximum spiritual benefit. You are simply to decide and then act. In regard to your difficulty in concentration, which you say has increased since your initiation, you will be able to understand this from a parable narrated for your calm consideration. Mind is just like a horse tied with the fetters of matter, and normally it dominates the spirit. Mind, being the agent of negative power, is quite satisfied so long as one continues all efforts in its domain and does not resent stillness and concentration. When the mind is attuned within with the holy initiation from a competent master, the rope is cut asunder, and the soul is set free to travel back into the realms of peace and harmony, which are beyond the scope of the negative power. So the impending forces make a futile attempt to harbor the efforts of the spiritual aspirant, lest the soul is completely disencloaked from the bondage of mind and matter. The factors with which you are confronted are the normal features of a spiritual aspirant. They work as a blessing in disguise when one's sincerity and integrity are tested at every step, and one becomes more firm and resolute with the grace of the Master. You will appreciate that it is due to the overwhelming gracious protection of the Master that the child disciple progresses smoothly on the holy path. You need not apprehend it in any way, but instead, carry on earnestly and steadfastly. The God power that is responsible for everything must be understood, and this understanding comes only if one is able to know one's inner self, the soul. As the soul is of the same essence as God, this may be achieved by experimenting in the human laboratory under the guidance of a competent master. The disciple must rise above body consciousness for this purpose. As a scientist carries out his experiments in a laboratory under the guidance of a science professor, so the disciple in like manner, in the science of the soul, is helped by a competent master to experience God in the laboratory of the human body and to develop spiritually from day to day. You will receive immense loving inspiration from the study of sacred books, which carry the life impulse of the Master. Initiates should always repose their hopes and desires in the ever-present gracious Master Power. The sound current, the Master Power, is constantly with you and is your eternal companion. When the sound current is strong, it reminds you that he is always with you, working overhead, extending his grace. Turn your face to him and benefit therefrom. Spirituality requires simplicity and humility in all spheres of life, which will bless you with more of ravishing bliss with the grace of the Master. And I'd like to close with another birthday message. This one is from 1965. Dear ones, on the 72nd year of my physical birth anniversary, I convey my hearty love to each one of you, and peace with all amongst you, and with whomsoever you come in contact, high or low, with animals and birds who also belong to the great family of God, the creator of all. In fulfilling this wish, others will know that you are of God and are in conscious union with the light of the world. A flower is known by the fragrance it emits. So let your mind, words, and deeds be saturated with the perfume of love. Love, and all things shall be added unto you. Master Power is always with you. Kirpal Singh. That was Master's birthday message from 1965. Before that, we heard from the section on mind and soul from the book Spiritual Elixir. Thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Marcia. There were 57 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
The birth anniversary of a great man means for us to tread the path of the truth as explained by him, to follow the teachings in their right perspective and digest them in our own lives.